It's Thursday, May 5th, 2016. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast about retro video games, and sometimes some other things. This is episode 144, Do a Meme Roll. Runtime for this episode is 1 hour and 8 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that
has a lot of guest stars.
I was going to say, Team Star Fox has grown since the last time I remember flying this mission, which we totally fly every week.
My name is Leon.
No. My name is Jeremy.
What, really? Zach, you always go second.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I always avoid introducing myself.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm Tyler.
I'm Alex.
I'm Cody.
My name is Zach.
All right, so Alex, Tyler's wife, is returning for third episode, fourth episode?
Like fifth. I've lost count.
I don't know, it's on the website. I tagged all the episodes she's on with her name.
It's almost to double digits at this point.
I was on for Sonic, and I was on for Animal Crossing.
Gunstar Heroes. I think there was one more since then. 1080.
She was on Golden Axe.
Yes, yep. I was also on Golden Axe.
So a lot that I don't remember because I'm a bed friend.
So our longtime viewers will recognize me and can call Jeremy out for being a, you know, heartless jerk.
I actually had a coworker ask which episodes that I recommended to him because we like listened to our latest three. I'm like, you know, conclusively, I can say anything Alex is on.
Metroid, that's a good one.
Conversely, yep. Anything Zach isn't.
Super Metroid is the only one I remember being proud of. I'm sure I'm proud of other ones, but...
A lot of people like our original Metroid for some reason. I'm not really sure why, but...
I quite like our Halo episode.
That's because you like Halo. You're actually conflating the two.
No, I just thought that one went well.
We also have the oft-mentioned but never explained Cody on this episode, who has been brought up many times. No one has ever mentioned who he is or what our relation to him is.
He's actually
and we're not
going to
change that today.
He just kind of followed me here. Sorry, that's my bad.
I'll be randomly appearing out of the ether every now and again, basically when I have free time.
I'm actually kind of terrified now.
No. I was going to say, is there some sort of summoning ritual that needs to be performed? Or
I require 7 virgins, 3 goats, and a Snickers bar.
Can we get
away
with just...
the Snickers bar?
Yes, I'm a little curious. What's the Snickers bar for?
Also, virgin what's?
Well, you know when virgins get hungry.
Virgin olive oil.
We have to make sure the goats are virgins.
Take the 3 virgins, chop them up, feed them to the goats. And
it was 7
nice...
virgins.
Yeah, it was
you take 3 of your 7 doing the damn recipe. You take 3 virgins, chop them up, make them into a nice souffle. Feed them to the goats. Feed the goats to the other 4 virgins. Then very meticulously take the Snickers bar, feed them to the virgins as dessert, and then I eat them.
Bam!
And then you kick it up a notch.
Wait, and why do we want to do this?
Because who needs virgins?
That is true.
All right, so we're going to get into what we've all been playing, which is going to take 70 years. But before that, we got an email for like the first time ever. And if you want to be mentioned on our podcast, you should send us an email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com telling us cool stuff. We got one from Ryan. Said some very nice things about us. Thank you, Ryan.
We're definitely going to play Tony Hawk's, or at least the Steam version, shortly.
Yeah. So. What podcast are you listening to? Because it sounds like one I actually want to listen to, and it sure as hell ain't us, because we aren't intelligent.
It kind of sounds like the Extra Credits podcast. I know.
It sounds like those guys.
Yeah, he requested we play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. We're going to play the Steam version, but not next week. Since we took so many weeks off, totally on accident, we have something big planned for next week, a big main event, heavyweight title contender. But you'll have to stick around until the end of the episode to find out what that is.
Will the contender use a splash attack?
No, although he will be better than Fire Emblem. Maybe. I don't know. Zach's giving me a dirty look. Oh, no, I'm weighing that.
Fighting words, I think.
Better than Reckon No Ken?
I think so, but that's a whole episode away.
Yeah.
Done.
We can fight over that later.
But we'll be playing Tony Hawk, and if you would like to request a game, you should send us a nice email like Ryan did. So thank you very much, Ryan, and hopefully you haven't stopped listening because we haven't put out an episode in 1,000 years.
Say things and we won't take your advice.
So you can send us hate mail too. We'll just be really excited to get human contact.
Yeah, that is true. I'm inundated with offers of Russian brides and sweet deals on watches right now.
And you can't even really benefit from the Russian brides thing.
How not?
Guilty party.
I mean, I guess I can't marry them, but...
Which is the point?
No, Zach, it's an exploitation scheme. You make extra money.
You Nigerian prince them.
That is true.
You know what? Ladies first. Alex, is there anything you've been playing you want to tell us about?
I've been playing Animal Crossing New Leaf.
It's like you're some sort of person who owns Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Well, it's similar. I'm actually an engineer, but we're like people. Thank you.
And you can pass. You're not like one of those blue engineers that's all furry or one of the ones with wings. You can pass.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Is that a new one or is that the same one that you've had for...
New Leaf is the newest one on the 3DS.
That isn't Happy Home Designer.
Yeah.
Which isn't really Animal Crossing.
New Leaf is still like 2 years old, I want to say.
Yeah.
It was out when we did the Animal Crossing episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And I think I was playing it then too. No,
Katie was.
Okay. I didn't own it then?
Yeah, we did not own it yet. We were playing City Folk.
I didn't know there was another one, and I don't think I ever actually knew the subtitle to that game.
They actually just announced the next one yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's going to be the mobile one I was telling you about.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, I started it back like around Thanksgiving and played it for, a month or two, and then kind of burned out. So for the first time ever, I've actually gone back to a town without raising it to the ground and starting over. So I'm actually like plausibly going to complete some of my dexes, which is kind of exciting. I may actually catch all of the fish here.
Gotta catch them all, Animal Crossing fish.
That's actually very similar to what I've been playing, but go on.
That's really all there is. You know, I have a house and I, you know, do Animal Crossing things. I spend a lot of time fishing on the island. That's pretty much it. I've been watching Tyler play a lot of games, so maybe you should let him talk next.
Yeah, what has Alex been watching you play, Tyler?
I've been salivating over this game for a while because I...
That doesn't tend to make it play any better. Usually performance goes down.
Yeah, I cleaned off the controller out before I actually started playing.
Right, that's usually a good idea.
So I forgot what I was doing. I think I was like playing Payday with Kevin or something. Our friend Dan's brother is...
Got a few more things to throw in there to further distance yourself.
Cousins, uncles.
Technically, it's my wife's boyfriend's brother. Plays a lot of, I guess, like retro-style platformers. And I had seen this game on Steam. I'm like, I should stick that on my wish list. And then he started playing it. It's like, hey, Tyler, you like games like this, right? This game is freaking awesome. You should play this. I'm like, yes, I should. But it's $12, which is more than I'm going to pay for a Steam game. And Alex is like, it's $12, you idiot. I'm just going to buy it for you.
And so, then did you buy it for me? Is that how that happened?
Yes. And then I bought it for Jared.
Thanks, yep. Alex.
Yeah, no, I bought it for him before telling him. I'm like, I got you a present. He's like, you got me a present? Can I have it? I'm like, yes, I got you a present. And he was in the middle of Payday, so I'm just like, not saying anything. Mm-mm, you gotta find it yourself.
Rather amusingly, he was pronouncing this game 20XX, when clearly its true title's 20XDX.
We're all good Homestar Runner fans.
The procedurally generated Mega Man X-style game.
Roguelike.
Yeah, it's also a roguelike, so one death and you're done, and you go back. So the point is, you explore levels, the bosses are always on the same levels. And at the end of a level, you get your choice of one of three bosses. Some of the boss powers are way better than others.
Are the bosses with better powers usually tougher to beat?
No, I think the developers like to think that all the powers are equal, but they're really wrong about that.
As developers usually are.
Yeah.
You know, it's also heavy duty. Is it alpha or is it beta?
Yeah, it's, I think in beta.
It's an early access beta.
Slime Rancher is an alpha still. Oh man, the Slime Rancher update. I'll get to that.
You know what else is an alpha that ticked me off? 7 days. They killed my ability to play the game.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. And the new update is actually really good too.
I know.
Yay, water.
Yeah, they really need boats though. I'm beginning to think that's a problem. Anyway, so 20XEX is procedurally generated Mega Man X-like roguelike. The goal, other than like actually beating it, you can actually beat the game on a single run theoretically if you're good. I have yet to beat it, and I've dumped like 15 hours into it already. But you collect soul nuts from certain soul imbued enemies throughout the level. And you can spend those to get upgrades that can fall later in the level. You start out with like 3 upgrades being able to be dropped, and then you, every time you die, you get the opportunity to buy more that can drop later.
It sounds kind of like
Rogue Legacy,
but it's not a permanent bonus like the castle was in Legacy.
Yeah, you get a single use of it the time you buy it, but then after that it can just drop from like chests. So there are secret routes you can take, and there are chests. There are also, like, prototype power-ups that have severe drawbacks, but also severe benefits. There's one of them that reduces your maximum health to 1, but it also gives you 14 armor. That's kind of cool.
I don't mean to interrupt, but did you ever play Spelunky?
I did not. It's on my wish list.
I think you and I should play that, like, to talk about, because I think that the fact that we haven't played Spelunky is, like, a big blind spot for us, especially for games like this.
Surprisingly enough, I have that on my wish list too, and kind of want to play it.
I'm kind of surprised that you want to play it.
It's a platformer with permadeath.
I saw a couple of shots on it, and I'm like, that looks a little bit like Rogue Legacy with a shotgun.
Yes, that is true.
Fun.
The additional, or I guess the main draws of this, aside from being what I've described, are you have 2 different characters: one's X, one's Zero. So basically one of them has a buster and one of them has a sword. There are different, like, variations of the weapon you can pick up, but that's kind of ancillary. There's a daily challenge where it does one randomly generated level and everyone gets a copy of that level to play. And then it posts the high scores of the day, which is kind of cool. It supports both local and online multiplayer. So, like, imagine you could play Mega Man X with a friend at the same time, because it's badass.
Yeah, text me and make me do this with you.
Yeah, Kevin and I have played a couple games. I also played an in-person game with Dan, and it's apparently, the first game he's played in, years. The downside is, the internet play is actually, it's a little buggy, but it's actually better than the local play, because it just stays focused on your character. In local play, if you get too far apart, it actually just zooms out to encompass...
Oh, it's one of those single-screen...
Yeah,
deals.
Because most of the time you're going to be occupying the same space, but there are a couple moving platform sections where you really only want to go one at a time, and that gets to be kind of annoying, and it's not really a problem on online play. I mean, it's a really solid game despite being in beta. They're just introducing, you know how Mega Man X has, the boss intro with, the guitar? They just started introducing those for bosses where it has, a splash screen when you actually wander into the boss chamber. It's pretty good. I haven't beaten it yet. I really like it, though.
$12 well spent.
Yeah, definitely. Also, Slime Rancher had a new update. There are now radiation slimes. They added a new mode called 5-Day Rush, though, the entire purpose of which is make as much money as possible in 5 days.
Totally into that.
And then brag about it on the internet, saying, I ranch adorable slimes better than you. So
EPing points are important.
That is true, you know. A lot they substitute for, in reality, VPing points.
But that's the thing, is you can't show off, VPing points on the internet. You have to have EPing.
You don't actually go around and, actually have actual dick measuring contests, but you have, intellectual dick measuring contests in real life, so.
I think that's just because we're nerds.
No, I mean, not actually intellectual. I don't think...
It's a thing that, guys watch porn with each other, right? There's
what?
Heard stories about this, and it seems
no.
the weirdest
There's
thing.
Very specific etiquette with watching porn with a group of men.
Do you wait?
One man...
So you've completely ruined the point already,
one
but go on.
One man watching porn is fine. Three men watching porn is fine. Two men watching porn is socially unacceptable.
My point was, at least I know stories of pre-internet guys would only one person would have found their dad's porn VHS, and so they'd all get together and watch it, and I just cannot imagine.
I mean, didn't you used to go out and buy Victoria's Secret magazines, and how you did porn in the 90s.
You never bought a Victoria's Secret magazine. It was
you stole them from your mother.
To you.
My understanding was you found it in the woods.
like a rare drop.
It's like imagine. The Blair Witch.
No, again, from just stories I've heard, it's like an uncommon drop. It's not like nuts or pine leaves, but
go raid magic attic boxes, Jeremy.
So we've strayed far enough from the point. Anything else, Tyler?
Yes, but I will save that all for later.
Speaking of power, Zach, what have you been playing with power?
League of Legends. Because, yes. I also played a couple of games of Civ 5.
Ooh, I was doing that for a while.
First time I have ever won via diplomatic victory.
Really?
What?
I feel like I always won,
you even
when I
tried
started.
A diplomatic victory?
Yes. It was an islands map, and I was on my own little island, so I didn't really have enough firepower to go across the seas and kill everybody. This time, I went ahead, and I just kind of was friendly with a lot of people, and made absolute friends with all of the city-states. One of the times it came up to vote for that, I had 39 of the 36 votes needed to vote for world leader.
Awesome.
Yeah. There were two times when I went on my Civ 5 kick, I accidentally won diplomatic victories,
yep.
Because I was just making friends with city-states for the bennies, and...
I was trying to win via science, because I haven't done that, or win via culture, because I also haven't done that.
Culture wins
but
are fun.
Since I hadn't won via diplomatic when I had the opportunity, I was like, yeah, I'll do this.
I actually want to see a game of Civ that takes into account domesticatable animals and, unevenly distributes them and see how that affects gameplay.
Civ with uneven distribution has been done, and it's not super interesting. It pretty much goes exactly how you expect.
I know, I'm just saying that's a more accurate simulation of the world.
In League of Legends this past time, I actually had probably my best game I've played in a very, very long time. I ended up going, 23-3-15 as Braves.
Cannot whistle. Tried.
And,
well,
I'm
sorry, 83? Did I hear that?
No. A.D. Carry.
23. Remember correctly, it was 25-3-15.
How did I hear 83 out of that?
It's A.D. Carry Graves.
Yeah, no, I heard that.
It's just been a little while since it came up. I got an S+, which is the highest rank I've gotten this season.
Isn't that also the max rank?
Yes.
Okay.
That basically means I was...
You're Japanese.
Graves, Korea, 80 South carry Korea. At the top level that it was possible to play it at. And my team
According
lost.
To Riot's dumb metrics, which don't make sense to anyone.
Nope.
Well, I'm sure someone wrote an algorithm, but... Well,
they clearly did. My team lost because my top laner and my jungler didn't understand how we needed to play our team. Like, we needed to go for picks because they had a Kindred Misfortune and a Corki, along with a Malzahar. So we needed to win by picking people off.
And people and just wanted to push towers all day?
No, they wanted to fight. By 10 minutes, Lee Sin had died like 8 times.
Team fight!
Because I was crushing bottom lane so badly, we were able to stay in it. It went bad in a few heartbeats after that. And a couple games later, I ended up with this support Sona, who rushed a Lich Bane.
Take down the towers!
And died, like, randomly. Not paying any attention, just would die. Some weird games. I'm struggling to get some... get S ranks at this point. Had a Ascension coming back. That was a lot of fun. The other game that I got to play, I got another deal on the Overwatch beta.
So you're back in the beta.
Brain I was goes for away. 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had like a stress test, which was Friday, Saturday, which was quite strange.
Although they're doing an open beta, I think, starting on May 5th.
The 3rd.
Is it 3rd?
I get in on the 3rd because I pre-ordered the game.
Okay, well, I'm joining on the 5th, so you'll have plenty of experience on me, just like in every shooter we've ever played.
They added a bunch of stuff, like every time you level up, you get a chest, which contains some drops in it, like different skins, victory poses.
Victory poses? Yeah,
they're in there. And then like cinematic shots for when you have the highlight of the game, different intros for that. Which is actually kind of an interesting idea.
Oh yeah, was it you or Kevin talking to me about like the weird mechanism they use for deciding the play of the game in that? Maybe
I don't know exactly how they decide to do it, but sometimes it's rather strange because you'll be sitting there and the play of the game will be a rather ordinary looking play, which I suspect gets picked as the play of the game because like there's a longer string of play, like it's...
Or is that a particularly pivotal moment?
Like I don't think so. Like, there was one me and Kevin were doing where I actually got, like, a triple kill or quadra kill involved, but...
And that was not the play of the game?
It was just a... Well, it was, like, a string play. Like, I killed one dude, ran through, killed another dude, and then killed another dude. But there was enough space in time during that play that it only showed, like, one instance, which looked really, really just rote. Like, why is this the play?
Because it was really solid, man. You played a solid game.
I lament the fact that the map I really, really liked wasn't in the second beta.
Well, they gotta test all the maps.
I think it was like London or Paris was actually the map title, but it was really, really good. I really liked that map. But now we had Route 66 for the assault map on that particular one. But next week, it's coming back. It's probably gonna bite into my league time, but that's nothing new.
That is their goal. Anything else, Zach?
I played a couple games of StarCraft too. Still not a bad game.
Cody, anything you've been playing that you would like to talk about?
I've been playing a lot of Magic, but this is the wrong podcast for that.
No, so. We can talk about that.
Magic is, like, Magic game design actually is really, really good to look at if you're interested in game design.
Although Hearthstone is probably the slightly better choice because it's actually a video game, but...
The thing with Hearthstone is that they can fix problems in competitive play a lot quicker.
And Magic has a way longer history, so they've made a lot more mistakes just by volume of time. And you learn way more from mistakes than success.
They are shifting to a new release system for Magic, where rather than having 8 sets in competitive play at once, they're cutting it down to 6, but these sets are larger. So rather than having a 150-card set, 200-card set, 150-card set, they're condensing it into 3 typically 280 to 290 card sets. So the newest one that came out is Shadows Over Innistrad, and it's 283 cards.
And wow. I've only heard really good things about that set. Apparently it has a really strong gothic horror theme.
Oh, that's cool.
Basically, the lore-wise, the angels on the plane have gone crazy and are now the bad guys, where the vampires are now the good guys.
So it's like that one story.
I want to play this D&D campaign.
Yeah, basically
it's like fun.
Basically, Magic has devolved into the D&D campaign.
What do you mean devolved?
I think it already was there.
Yeah, the guy who made Magic bought D&D because he loved it.
I mean, I read the Kamal story arc. That's a D&D campaign right there. That's a dude lone wolfing the shit out of something.
Kamal is now almost 20 years old.
I know.
Hey, like the game we're going to be talking about shortly.
Almost 20 years old.
I've been playing Red Black Vampires, and if it doesn't win by turn 3, it doesn't win. Lots of removal, lots of burn, and
Lava Axe.
Lava Axe is a shit card. Nobody
yes,
plays Lava.
It's Ed's favorite
Lava
card.
Axe.
The new mechanic for the set is called Madness. If you would discard a card, you could play it for its madness cost, which is usually cheaper. So now a lot of the competitive high-level decks revolve around just dumping your hand and killing a guy in a turn or two.
Neat.
Although Lightning Helix, that was an awesome card.
That is true.
Lightning Bolt, Lightning Helix.
I always liked playing red-white whenever I played that
game,
but I never played it competitively.
Blue-black.
Alex's eyes are glazing over here. Let's get back to video games, shall we?
Yeah, anything else, Cody?
Nope, that's it.
Well, I've been playing Stardew Valley, like I said earlier, and if you played Harvest Moon 64 because it was the best, and you've been waiting for them to make a sequel to Harvest Moon 64, that's good.
Play Rune Factory Frontier.
Rune Factory is pretty good.
That game is good.
But it's all about fantasy stuff, and you can date everybody, including, like, the moon.
And if you get into, while farming, you go slaughter things.
Isn't that just called hunting?
Stardew Valley really feels like a guy loved Harvest Moon and Harvest Moon 64, kind of liked the next few Harvest Moon games, liked some ideas, but wasn't into them, and then played Minecraft and was like, I should make a game myself, because Natsume isn't doing it anytime soon. So it really feels like Harvest Moon post-Minecraft. It's got a lot of nice things from Minecraft, like the hot bar with 9 different things that you can have equipped so you're not constantly in your backpack.
Yeah, gameplay looks a lot like Terraria to me.
I lament the fact that we can't play Harvest Moon 64.
Everybody does. They've got crafting, basically. So instead of like chests being super valuable, you just need to cut down trees for wood and then make chests. You can make sprinklers, and basically all the high-end stuff from the later Harvest Moon, like cheesemakers, are stuff you craft.
Craftable items.
You also go into a mine to get ores for crafting and fight monsters in those mines.
Any rogue slimes?
You can farm slimes. They're end-game content that isn't very good. And then you have fishing like Harvest Moon. You have a museum that basically works like the one in Animal Crossing, where you can donate stuff to it for bonus items. If I have a problem with it, is that the villagers aren't as interesting as I'd like them to be.
Harvest Moon 64 seemed to hit a good set on that, where they actually all are fairly interesting, whereas...
I also feel like they're not terribly numerous, which might have been to their benefit.
Yeah, there were a good number of them, but I guess the important ones were very limited.
There are about the same number in this. I think what my problem is, ultimately, is he made the decision to assume you're bisexual, which is probably fine from a political correctness point of view. But one of the things I really liked about Harvest Moon 64 is how all the guys are sad sacks who can't talk to the girls they like. And you have to, like, go to the bar and build a friendship and relationship with them.
Yeah, you
where they pour their heart
them,
out to
right.
you. And then they end up with the girls. In this, they just flirt with you. And I'm not, like, against that, but I would like some cool guy friendships. And I would like it if my wife didn't assume I was cheating on her because I give Alex some mayonnaise.
What? I was making shake and bake.
Alex is a guy in this case.
I was still making shake and bake.
Also, the girls are pretty boring except for the one that's made to pander to nerds. Her
is
first
it the
date,
engineer?
No, she's she lives at home with her parents, is totally goth, hangs out in the cemetery, wants to fight monsters for a living, and your first date, she's like, man, I'm stuck on this Super Nintendo level. Could you help me? I'm like, yes, soul, I don't need to talk to any other girls.
Which Super Nintendo game was she playing?
It's a game made up for this game. I can't remember the name of it. It's a four-directional shooter.
Okay.
You can play it in the bar. There's an arcade version. Or... if you marry her, her Super Nintendo moves in with you.
Kyle, you know all about that.
Yep. I inherited a Genesis that way.
Hey, and an N64.
The other game I've been playing is Star Fox Zero. And I don't want to get into it too much because I don't want this podcast to be comparing Star Fox 64 and Star Fox Zero too much. I'll probably get more into it next week.
It's disfavorable in the direction you're not expecting.
Tyler, I thought you stole his soapbox.
No, I actually incorporated it into a larger structure.
I bought a new one with Star Fox Zero. I'll say that, like, the tepid reviews exist for a reason. The game industry are pansies, and I didn't like it all reading 7 bad reviews that ended with 7 out of 10. It's not really as bad as people are saying it is, but it's still bad and you shouldn't buy it.
So is it actually more of a 5 out of 10 mediocre?
Like actually mediocre?
I hate the gaming standard because
7 out of 10 is mediocre, where 7 out of 10 should be above average.
It's just...
Yeah, Golden Axe is 0 out of 10. Like, it's
Golden
a bad
Axe
game.
Golden Axe is 1 out of 10.
Crazy
I'd give it 2.
Yeah, Crazy Taxi is a 5. Yeah,
it's a little better than mediocre.
Okay, so segue. Jeremy, are you going to talk about that game at all?
I'm just going to say it's really, really flat in answer to your question. You would hate it, Zach, for a number of reasons. And I understand why some people are like, this game is awful. On the other hand, Kotaku refused to review it. Actually, no, it wasn't Kotaku. Polygon refused to review it, and that's completely unprofessional. It's not that bad.
that is unprofessional.
It's just, I will talk about it next week, but skip it. Instead, buy Star Fox 64. It's a fifth of the price, and it's so much better.
This sounds like a challenge, though.
So, speaking of Star Fox 64, Star Fox 64. What?
No.
Oh.
Since we're still not into the meat of the episode, I'm going to insert my instant, which is Jeremy's bag of wonder here. Tyler and I hosted game night last weekend, and Jeremy was supposed to come, but he didn't. So he's getting his gift bag tonight.
I got Cool Ranch Doritos.
Also Funyuns.
Yeah, and the Funyuns. I saw the Funyuns, though.
It turned into an impromptu slumber party. A bunch of our friends were like, hey, can we stay the night? So I made gift bags. Jeremy, tell our listeners what's in your gift bag.
Well, I got some Funyuns, like Tyler said, and some Cool Ranch Doritos. I got, what are these? Building blocks?
They're not Legos.
No, they're not. They look like little flowers.
They interlock and stuff.
Yeah,
they're not even mega
blocks. Nope. They are dollar bin building blocks.
Flip flops.
No, those
are flip-flop slippers.
Those are the shittiest slippers you could buy.
Yeah, those are the worst slippers money can buy.
I wish I knew where my slippers were. My basement gets cold. Even in the freaking summer. It's actually worse in the summer.
Some sort of washcloth.
Is that a ShamWow?
Also cheap washcloths, because theoretically you were spending the night.
Star Wars toothbrush and toothpaste. Rebel Alliance symbol that if you tilt it changes into some sort of other symbol that doesn't look like the First Order.
Hey, impressed sparkle fun toothpaste, all right?
Does it taste like engine grease, like off of a starfighter?
Probably.
A noisemaker that doesn't make any noise. And this seems like a throw.
That is a Peanuts fleece blanket.
Also, one of the blankets money can buy.
And did a bag with my name on it in girly grade school script.
Tyler did it.
I didn't. Well, I can't remember.
No, you totally didn't. I did all the girly writing.
Yeah,
it's
honestly,
okay.
That's too good for my handwriting.
Thanks a lot, guys. I'm sorry I played Star Fox Zero instead of coming to your cool party.
Our cool party was pretty sweet.
We played Arkham Horror. I'm just saying.
I had to work.
One of these games is better than Star Fox Zero.
We went to Walmart, and I was very proud of myself buying ridiculous lousy stuff for gift bags.
We got Ed caffeinated jerky as his midnight snack. It seems a very Ed thing.
That sounds delicious.
Ryan got a frozen blanket with Elsa.
Aw, I'm jealous.
Did Ed get the other Elsa blanket?
Let it poop. We got it. Okay, so.
I don't think I want to know.
Quick side story. Back in December, there was like this kiosk at the mall we wander. It was selling like emoji pillows, and one of them is a poop emoji. And we're like, Ryan's such a poop, we should get him that. And then we came back, and they were out of them. And then we came back again, and they were going out of business. And we're like, we got one left. It's $6. We're like, yes, we're getting Ryan a poop. So we give him a poop. Like,
which he then took to a magic tournament and wore with his Elsa blanket as a cape.
Pretty good. He was judging the day before, which is why he wanted to stay the night at our place, because he was judging or playing a tournament at the same place the next day.
Just want everybody to know, Ryan's a badass.
All right, so speaking of Star Fox 64, that's our assignment for this week, Star Fox 64. One of my favorite games, not like top 10 material, but before I just played Mega Man X as a lullaby. It was Star Fox 64. It's a game I absolutely love.
It's also a solid mobile game for the 3DS port.
I think it actually works better for the 3DS. I got it on my Wii U. It's still fantastic, don't get me wrong. But I think the way the levels function work a bit better for the mobile system.
It feels a little bite-sized.
Yeah, I had a lot of screen max issues on DS.
The reason although you have a 2DS, right?
I do have the 2DS because I'm cheap. Sue me.
Actually,
it wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You might get a 2DS out of the deal. The reason I like the mobile port is that if you don't feel like playing the entire game at once, you can do a planet and then close it and then pick it back up later.
Can't you implement save states on the Wii U for it?
Yeah, no, the Wii U has save states.
But you can't use those. The Wii U doesn't actually have Star Fox, though. You have to launch it through
the Wii. Right, you're right. It's a launcher through Wii.
Which does not have save
which states. Is really weird.
Like every other emulator ever made. Yeah.
Well, no, it's the way you have to launch the Wii emulator to launch.
Oh, yeah, you're emulating
It's weird. At any rate, that's got nothing to do with Star Fox itself. Doesn't Star Fox save your data on...
Not in between
it places. Saves. It doesn't save a PlayStation, though. So it'll save things like high scores, levels you have medals on, and things you've unlocked.
Which means you spend...
Okay, but every time you load up a playthrough, you start on Corneria.
Yes.
Yep.
Right. Okay, so start on Corneria as Star Fox with your buddies Slippy, Peppy, and Falco.
Isn't the very first line of dialogue you hear as soon as you start playing is like, Slippy, get back here!
Actually, I'm pretty sure given the rest of the game, it's a... Fox, help me!
Get this guy off me, Fox!
There is actually a voiced, like, Star Wars text crawl explaining the backstory.
And, yeah, I forgot about that.
Peppy's relation to your dad and Pigma's betrayal.
Yes, and who Andross is.
Then you also get General Pepper saying, good luck, Star Fox team!
Yeah, that's next. Basically, it's the story in the manual from Star Fox on the Super Nintendo, only now it's read to you. Then you get a little opening scene with Fox being like, open your wings! Check your D-diffuser systems. I'm too cool for school. If you skip all the cutscenes, then the first thing you have to hear is, in fact, Peppy yelling, Slippy, get back here! Slippy, watch out! Bogey on your tail!
Get this guy off me, Fox!
How are you all such terrible pilots? In this game, you actually play as the titular Star Fox with your team of ace pilot?
You're Star Fox Jr. dealing with your dad's leftovers.
No, he actually had a name. Like, James. You're Fox McCloud. Okay, so yeah, you are Star Fox because your father was James McCloud, so he was Star James. You are Star Fox McCloud.
Yeah, I assume you're named after his mercenary team for some reason.
Star James.
Yeah, clearly everyone in this, because you have Star Wolf as well. So clearly, everybody is actually named Star something, but most people just omit it. It's like an honorific. Like, so you have Star Falco, Star Peppy, and Star Slippy.
Star Slippy. Now, they are actually names of companies, because Wolf's name is Wolf O'Donnell. But and Fox is Fox McCloud.
So presumably, Wolf's dad's name was Jim. Jim O'Donnell started Star Wolf.
But, so you start on Corneria with three teammates. With your R-Wing? That's what it's called?
Yep, it's an R-Wing.
Most of the levels are in the R-Wing, which is basically a jet. This is, calling it a flight sim is woefully inaccurate.
It's
but
a rail shooter.
Yeah, it's a rail shooter where you're in a jet flying around.
You get free roam elements occasionally.
Yeah, it's sort of...
Enough to break up the rail shooter segments. I actually really like the fact that they implemented those instead of just putting everything on rails.
For the most part, it's a rail shooter, but there are a few more flight simmy things. You get a really small area to fly in most of the time. Which is kind of too bad, but you get to fly around, do U-turns, go where you want.
Somersault.
Fight Star Wolf.
Do a barrel roll.
The basic controls, you have a laser, it goes pew-pew, it shoots most enemies down in a couple hits, you can power it up, and the power-ups just make the game really easy.
Yep.
You have bombs.
You can also hold A to charge your lasers.
Lets it home on a target.
In fact, Peppy tells you that. That's like one of the first things.
Slippy actually tells you that.
Oh, does he?
For a little bit, I was actually having a little bit of trouble because I kept trying to just hold it down like most rail shooters do. Like, I kept forgetting that charged it.
Yeah, I have some problems with that, usually during boss fights where I just want to hammer the guy.
You have to keep quick tapping it instead.
Although charging your lasers is how you score the most points.
Makes a lot of sense. Like, it's not something that got in the way of me. I actually kind of like the fact that you can't just hold it down because that got in my way in Sin and Punishment. I've never found out that you could actually deflect with the sword because I just held down the fire button until everything else fell over.
That does seem like a pretty Zack MO.
No, usually I can't hold it down because usually I have a shotgun, which is pump action.
That is true. Yeah, so you can't just hold the trigger.
You also have a limited number of bombs, which make a big explosion and take out a lot of enemies at once. If you lock on with the charge laser and then bomb, the bomb will home.
But I totally forgot about that.
If you just fire it dumbly, you can pre-detonate it, which is usually the best way to get a lot of points.
I didn't even realize you could do that.
Yeah, if you press the button again, the bomb will detonate.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's really useful in Sector X or Sector Y.
Didn't get there.
Recall. Oh, the Spybot level? That's like a vague horror-themed level?
Where that's Sector X.
Oh, is it X that does that? Which one is Y the one?
Y is the Gundam one.
Which is the one where you get it? Oh, that's Z.
Yeah, Sector Z is the missiles.
Okay.
These are cleverly named levels.
I know.
You also have a boost that makes you go faster and a brake that slows you down, which is a way to manipulate being on the rails a little bit.
Give yourself a little bit more time to shoot.
Also, a somersault can also slow you down a lot. It expends the same gauge as either boosting or braking. Yeah.
You have a maneuver meter, so you can only boost or brake for a certain amount, and you have to wait for it to cool down completely before you can do something else again.
Most of the time you won't be using it. There are some levels that encourage you to make very heavy use of it, or you will take damage.
Also, you can break off your wing if you run into too many things. They made it really, really hard in the base game, which is good because you lose your laser power-up, and it's pretty dissatisfying. It does make the game feel a little more realistic, I guess, but...
I was never entirely sure why I lost wings when I did.
They have to take a lot of damage. It basically means you kept hitting it.
I think the only times I lost hearts were against the final boss and on that sun level.
And to reinforce the arcadey nature, you can do a barrel roll by pressing Z or R twice, and barrel rolls reflect laser fire coming at you.
Let's be realistic.
It's an aileron roll.
I'm choosing to believe it's the Star Fox patented barrel roll. They have a trademark on it, and that's how it reflects laser fire. And really, their rivalry with Star Fox. Star Fox stole the technology.
You mean Star Wolf?
Yes.
Check out the game theory to actually have that one explained as to why it's an aileron roll, not a barrel roll.
Turns out they're not pilots, which is why when Fox retires, it becomes a pro F-Zero Razor.
So, as Zach alluded to, this game has multiple paths. The game is 7 levels long each time you play it, but the game has, I should have counted, I'm going to say about...
It's 20-odd levels, at least.
It's a little less than 20, but it's quite a few.
You get on these different paths based on how well you do in previous levels.
How well you do, and levels and have how you complete mission it. Objectives, basically. They're all in the rulebook, which doesn't come with the Wii version of the game, which is too bad.
There's one level you have to fly through a bunch of stone arches over the water. If you make all of them, then you get the secondary path, and if you miss, you get the basic path.
That's actually Corneria.
Yeah, the first level you have to save Falco and then fly under all those.
I think I missed one of those.
Also,
arches.
You can never get the hard path if any, or a medal, if any of your...
No, that's not true. It's just you can't get a medal.
Okay, never mind then.
Certain hard paths require certain characters be up, but... Yeah, it's basically... Objectives, most of them are either told to you by your characters or really obvious, like the asteroid field. There are these little rings you fly through that make you start spinning. If you hit them all.
15 levels.
Yeah, 15 sounded right. And if you do better, you have the choice between a hard level or an easy level. If you do poorly, you're usually forced onto the easy path. Level. The hard levels are a little more interesting generally, but not as a rule.
I only got, I think, one of them, which was at some level, the fact that characters go down. If they get shot down,
oh, yeah.
You fail to save them, they're actually out for the next level.
Yeah, that's something we didn't talk about. A pretty major mechanic is your allies will frequently get into trouble.
How are you all such terrible pilots?
Frequently is a low word for that.
It's like once per level.
Get this guy off me, Fox.
It's just the first level, it happens twice as sort of a tutorial, so people tend to remember it more.
Well, no, It doesn't actually happen as much as it feels like, except against the Star Wolf team.
Oh yeah,
when you're actually in free range mode against Star Wolf, it's constant.
It happens a lot in all range mode because even with like not even with Star Wolf, with like the generic fighter guys will constantly be tailing one of your teammates.
Although, yeah, as Jeremy pointed out when we were talking about it at one point, makes it real easy to find them.
That is
where
true.
Where is the Star Wolf team? Fox, get this guy off me. Found him.
That's the thing. It's only obnoxious when it happens to Slippy, because he's just whiny.
That is true.
Help me! Like, no!
Although, Falco's like, I'm having trouble shaking this guy. He doesn't say, like, you know, help me or, like, get this guy off me. He's like, man, I wish I was slightly cooler than I was, but I'm already pretty cool, so I'm probably good.
And Peppy's like, I got a bogey on my tail.
After about the 20th time hearing from Slippy, I have seriously looked at it and gone, is it worth it to save you?
So if
I really care?
If they take too much damage, they're out for 2 levels, or rather the remainder of your level and the next level. It's not actually set. They recover health both when they're down and when they're just hurt based on the enemies you shoot down. So it's actually possible for them to come back on the level they were lost on, but that's
really
hard to do.
Oh, the times that it happened to me, they were on the... level following the level immediately following the one they got shut down on, they were out, and then the level after that they were
back. Usually how it works.
Yeah, that's very common, but you can also just heal them by shooting down a lot of guys as long as they don't go down. But they all serve a function, sort of. Slippy gives you the boss's health meter, which is pretty handy. Peppy will give you helpful tutorials but also tell you what the boss's weaknesses are.
Shoot the tentacles, open the core!
And Falco helps you with a lot of mission objectives. Unfortunately, he doesn't actually do that much.
He'll, like, kind of give you a hint on what you need to do to go the hard path.
Like, Corneria, he's required for it. The train level, he will actually shoot a bunch of the switches for you.
Yeah, that is super helpful. It's really hard to do without Falco.
It's just a shame that he wasn't there. Because when I got to that train level, I didn't have any of them.
Oh, because you went through Solario?
Yeah, I went through the sun, and they all went down.
Why did you fly through a sun? That sounds like
a terrible idea.
Why would you even do that? In fact, the explanation for going there was really shoddy, too.
We have to go defeat them off on the sun. It's a sun. Yeah, my fighter is, okay. is not that good.
So there's a level that is you're constantly taking damage from the extreme heat of the sun you're flying over.
Remember when we played Comic Zone?
Yeah.
And to
mandatory
attack,
damage.
You had to take damage. Well, they actually mitigated that with this because you're constantly taking damage, but
it's like
none
a time
of the,
limit.
Well, none of the enemies, except for the boss, are actually actively attacking you.
Yeah, they're just like poor
aren't there
fire
like,
birds.
So you're shooting them down.
Are magma worms?
Huh?
Are there magma worms?
No,
the jump in arches.
No, that's okay.
There are fireballs that move in that arc.
There is. Okay. There's like a sort of not sewer level, but like a level over a planet's ocean that's really dirty, and there are a bunch of worms that like fly out of.
Yeah, that.
Maybe
water
I'm
there.
Mixing those up with the.
That's the one that has cat.
I hadn't actually watched this game this week. I just watched nearly infinite amounts of it as a kid.
But they mitigated that. Like, I don't think the level is well designed or a good idea. At the very least, they did a much better job of covering it.
Yeah.
Because you do regenerate HP, and it does feel more like the enemy is not the enemy's coming at you, but the level itself.
But the explanation for going there in the first place is Peppy going, the enemy developed a bioweapon here, take it out. Okay,
yeah,
I mean, guess.
Yeah, it's a bioweapon on a sun. It's a bioweapon. It's not going to do anything on a sun.
Yeah.
What's it going to bioweapon against?
Maybe it's going to cause the sun to go dark. That's the only headcanon explanation I can come up with. And then you would want to deal with that.
I actually imagine that Andros is like, yes, I'll evolve this thing in such harsh conditions that if I send it to any other planet, they won't be able to stop it.
Although, my question is, if the R-Wings can survive flying that close to a sun, why do lasers do anything
because,
to them?
Well, I mean, yeah, no, that's actually a good question, because they should have a blade of shielding additionally, so they should really be alright. Because Slippy's like, this baby can handle temperatures up to 9,000 space degrees!
Can't we just, like, mirror coat the R-Wings and then the lasers just bounce?
Yeah.
I mean, when you roll, they just bounce.
That's
so
because
we
they make themselves
so
super
fast?
Shiny.
Well, I was wondering if we made them so hot that they get that weird mirage effect that the streets get when it's hot.
The sun level is a different kind of challenge, and while Star Fox is a great rail shooter, I think what really makes it stand out is how unique each level is. And how they stand out very well from one another. Alex was joking about sectors X, Y, and Z, but
which are terribly named, but...
But all of those are very distinct levels. One is like an alien horror movie riff, where if you fail, Slippy gets lost forever, oh no.
One you accidentally wander into a Gundam episode.
Not really, he gets batted away, and then you have to go to a level in the tank that's specifically to save him.
Oh... But he's, like, grabbed by the boss, and, like, his R-Wing is just being flailed around by the boss the entire time.
And he screams obnoxiously, because he's Slippy.
Oh, although, no, we can't save you.
If you shoot down the boss's... If you blow up the boss's arm first, he'll immediately fly out and go, thanks, Fox, and then analyze the enemy's health for you.
Sector Z is your ship is under attack, your carrier ship,
and
you just have to defend
it. And they're
firing
nukes at you. if you went to Zone S earlier, Cat will come and help shoot down nukes for you. Which can actually be a hindrance if you're going for the medal score. Because
no, Cat and Bill's score.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Contributes to you. There are two allies in this game that aren't on every level: Bill and Cat. Bill is on the Independence Day level.
Yeah, it is definitely just Independence Day.
And Cat is on Zonas, and they will show up on the next level to help you if you do their levels.
I didn't actually get either one of them.
Yeah, that's why I said earlier that the hard levels are kind of more interesting, just because they have those bonus characters, basically.
Although, one of the levels that I liked is, you're on a time limit, if you fail, you lose the level, and I succeeded in shooting down all of the members of Star Wolf.
Oh yeah,
3
the bomb.
Seconds remaining.
The snow base. That's actually one of my favorite levels, because I love free range mode in this game.
It is a free range mode.
The dog fighting is actually pretty fun.
Yeah, like I said, 3 seconds before it went boom.
I guess fox fighting? Wolf fighting?
Canine fighting.
Also, the path can have other effects. For example, that one, there's a satellite level later on, and Star Wolf will show up if any of them survived that level, or if you didn't go to that level. They'll just all be there.
Which actually can be kind of annoying.
Why they weren't there, because I shot them all down.
Yeah, if you didn't, they come back and they're like all repaired, basically.
That level did seem like there was something missing from it. Because I shot them all down, it's like, this is surprisingly easy. It feels like there should be something else here trying to kill me.
Especially since the hard, like, equivalent level is maybe the hardest level in the game. It's also my favorite, Sector 6, which is just capital ships and ships flying at you.
And giant satellites.
And people chattering about how they haven't stopped you yet, which is great, because Falco is bragging the whole time, and it makes you feel like badasses. Especially, like, they're through the second line!
Meanwhile, you're wondering how they haven't reverse-engineered damn R-wings yet, like... Although I guess Wolf basically has them and he still can't stop you.
Well, if you go to the hard version of Venom, Star Wolf are in better ships that barrel roll to deflect lasers and can't be locked onto.
Although the answer is just spam fire laser.
There's also a underwater level in a submarine, which is terrible. You have infinite torpedoes instead of bombs, and it's... Can you explain why it's bad, Tyler? Because
partially
I didn't play it, so...
So... We explained the tank levels, and the tank is actually pretty good.
We actually haven't yet. I was going to get to that next.
I guess we touched on them briefly. The problem with the submarine level, I think, is largely limited visibility. You can only see where you're currently looking. You're a bit... I say this somewhat coincidentally because you're underwater. The controls are actually a bit floatier. Like the submarine feels less responsive than the R-Wing ever does. You can't barrel roll.
You can.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't barrel roll in this game much anyway, so... It's plotting, like it's poorly paced, I think is part of the problem.
Also, the enemies never chat at you. I was talking about Sector 6, how that's one of my favorite things. There are other levels like that, but...
Like the bosses, at least, will talk to you. The
bosses,
are
really snarky in this, which is kind of great.
The tank level that followed the sun level? Man, that guy would not shut...
I love that guy.
You're in a tank.
Yeah, the train level. Yeah.
But he just does not shut up, and it is amazing.
My favorite is the Gundam level, where the guy, every time you hit him enough, he'll go, "Cocky little freaks!"
I really like Zonas because of the pirate guy who's like, "Arr, har, 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 har."
Yeah,
whenever he hits you, drop the crane now.
Although it gets kind of annoying if like the fight lasts too long because you don't blow him up fast enough, then he'll like pick up the thing and go, "Arr, har, 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 fire the main cannons.
I can't see anything. Fire anyway."
Oh, I forgot to bring back Bravely Default. I was thinking Barbarossa.
In this game, though, I only died twice. Once on the lava level and then once on the train level after, but the train was more a matter of I had to restart because I kept running into things because I didn't really understand my range of movement
barrel rolling in the tank moves you quickly, and that's actually a good way to get around.
I kept running into things because I kept thinking I had more space to swing wide on it, and I'd run into
a pillar or something
that I couldn't actually go through.
We keep teasing the tank. So there are two tank levels. You can't do both of them on the same run through. One is the one where you save Slippy. One is this great one where you're attacking a train.
I actually really like both. I mean, the train one is obviously superior. I like both of them a lot.
Actually, the one thing I really like about Star Fox Zero is I really like the way the Landmaster works in that. But yeah, the train level is one of the best levels. Every review of Star Fox Zero said, "Where the f*** is the train level?"
it is amazing. Although,
and you didn't even get the good ending where you suit all the switches and you run the train into an enemy base.
And then
it's like, "No! Hit the brake!
And then
I can't stop it!" And then there's just like a 1 minute long explosion.
No, I didn't.
It's like Michael Bay came in, is like, "You know what this needs? More explosions," and then walked out.
I didn't have the other R-Wings at the time. The game is structured in such a way that you can play it multiple times to get... You just learn more and more stuff about each level as you're going, which is...
And a single playthrough is only about a half hour.
Exactly what I was going to say, is it's just so quick that, you know, a single playthrough isn't actually satisfying, which means you're going to come back repeatedly. And add to that the fact that there are multiple paths and multiple levels to play.
And there are medal scores, so there's some point horn going on.
I think it took me an hour. It
takes between a half hour and an hour, depending on which path you take. So it really depends on which levels you play through.
The last level, I do gotta give it a little bit of criticism, because you can't see anything. Your R-Wing's fat ass is in the way.
In the pyramid level?
No, the very last level, you're in this, like, for lack of a better term, it's an air shaft.
Oh, yeah,
it's a Death Star
run.
Shaft.
It's a trench run. Yeah.
If you go to the hard version, it's even more a trench run. But
you can't see anything past your R-Wing's fat ass. So it's kind of more of... aim and hope I don't run into anything.
And then you find Andross in an anime background.
It's easy to see when there's an obstacle coming up, but there's just such limited visibility on what you're actually coming up against that it feels really shaky.
I love the hard version of that, though, where Andross is taunting you the entire time, and he's like, "I killed your father, you know."
I don't know if we said it on the mics or not, but you get supply drops in this game. You get, like, little phone calls, and you have to answer them. But on the last level, you start answering it, and it's Andross, and he's just taunting you, which is amazing.
On the Wii U gamepad, I actually didn't... The Wii gamepad, whatever it actually is called.
I didn't know how to activate that because it popped up with the stick. It is the right stick. That's what I was talking to Jeremy about it on Saturday when we were working together. Because it comes up with the N64 icon for the C button. But I didn't know how to get to it. So I tried pushing like every button and decided without trying the that other stick and decided, I guess I don't have this button.
Well, it's a great little game with lots of replayability. Tyler mentioned medals. Once you get on, once you like figure out how to get to every level has a score target that if you get that score and keep all your allies alive, you get a medal.
As I mentioned before, charge attacks are the way to do that. If you get an indirect hit on anything, which is only possible with the charge attack, like you can attack rocket launcher style, something that they're sitting on gives you an extra point. Or if you kill something with that without actually hitting it directly, you get an extra point for it. So when enemies cluster in groups of five, target the center one, and you get four additional points in addition to the points that you got for killing them anyway.
So I actually have to ask because I'm not entirely sure. If you have unlocked a level, can you just go replay that level, or do you have to replay from the beginning?
There is no level select, and I'm a little torn on that. I wish there was, because Sector 6 is great, but a lot of the joy in this game, to me, actually comes from, like, the anticipation of, oh man, I'm almost to Macbeth, the train level, then Sector 6. Star Fox Zero has level select, and the levels in Star Fox Zero suck, but even if they didn't, I think it would take a little bit away.
Well, I feel as though if this game was made today, they would include a level select because sometimes you just want to play your favorite level.
You know, but the thing of it is I think I'm with Jeremy on this one. I really think that would be to the game's detriment because one of the big draws is, again, trying to replay it to get to these harder levels that you haven't been able to reach. And there's a little bit of a nerdgasm when you're like, oh my gosh, I've tried this level 18 times.
Well, I think Zach was saying after you've gotten to it once already,
okay,
being able to replay
it.
Yeah,
once you've already unlocked it, not like, I'm just playing this game, so I'm going to go play this hardest level that I've never been able to get to on my own. No, that's a cheap effect. But if you've already unlocked it, and like, say you have a friend, you're like, hey, check out this level. But I guess it would be the other benefit of if you had that friend, you're like, I can get to this really hard level, watch me do it.
You know, it's still only a half hour for a playthrough, though.
That is true.
It's so fast.
But I would like to practice, like, Sector 6 a couple times.
God, it would. You can play through the entirety of Star Fox 64 in less time than it would take me to beat the library in Halo.
Two more quick things. This is a long episode, but two things I want to touch on this game does have. If you get all the medals, you unlock an expert mode.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, where your wings break off immediately.
Yeah, which is a little harder, and if something touches your wing, it explodes and is... It's more realistic, which is kind of nice. If you like hit a building or something, it blows off. But that means you never have a powered up laser, and I think it's a lot less fun. I think the reason it takes so long for your wing to blow off was they realized in development that it wasn't much fun to have your wing blown off. So they kept the feature in, but just deliberately made it take a lot of punishment.
Doesn't that also unlock the pilots for playable use in the multiplayer
mode?
The
multiplayer was the other thing I was
getting. Multiplayer.
Yeah, like all Nintendo N64 games, this game has a tacked on multiplayer, but it's one of the best ones. It's just dogfighting with your friends, but medals let you unlock tanks and just hanging out with a bazooka.
Yeah, so you can also be an abnormally fast guy on the ground with a bazooka, which is surprisingly useful because they're hard to see.
They're like odd job levels of cheap, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the Arwing is the best craft in multiplayer. Like, yeah. It's faster, it has better firepower.
The individual characters can't move. They are stationary.
No, they can move.
I thought they couldn't. I thought you could only aim.
You cannot jump. But you can definitely run with them.
I mean, I have seen clips of people running around, but I don't know if that's...
I thought those are from Assault. But I could be wrong.
No, I definitely remember this. You can definitely move with them. They're not just turrets.
All right, any final things to say on Star Fox? Like I said, I love this game. It's a lot of fun. I like shooting down targets. I have all the medals.
This is the best rail shooter that's been made in a very, very long time. I would actually argue that I would say there isn't a better rail shooter than this one.
Granted, it's still the rail shooter genre, but...
You know, really, kind of what I have to say is... Okay, anybody who's listened to this and heard me before is going to be like, oh, she's saying this again. I have a huge nostalgia filter for this because, again, this is one of those games that I grew up with, and I haven't actually, like, ever played it using a controller because my thumbs just aren't up to that task, and my ego just can't take the beating that is being so much worse than my brother at every game. You know, so that being said, I watched a huge amount of this game, and I loved it, and now, you know, 15 years later, I still remember all of these voice cues. So
yeah,
it's ridiculously iconic despite its shortcomings.
Yeah, I wrote an essay on the voice acting in this game, which is why I didn't touch on it too much in the episode. But this is the first N64 game with voice acting, because voice acting on the N64 is really hard to implement.
Yeah, I remember seeing that on the cartridge. This was the first game I ever saved up money to buy.
I got it for Christmas, and I didn't know it had that, and I was like, oh my god, they are talking!
I never actually had this on my
N64, but I played it from Jeremy.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Mega Man Legends used the same style of voice acting. It sounds similar quality.
Did the 64 version have voice acting?
Yeah.
Okay. Totally.
You owned it, didn't you?
No, I rented it a couple times. I owned the one on PlayStation. Enough of that. We have a list on our website at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com ranking all the games we've played from best to worst. And it's time to put Star Fox on that list. At the bottom is Golden Axe. Alex likes it, but she has poor judgment.
I'm wrong. Yeah, I know.
Like
rub it in.
So you guys can suck it.
Hey, I've only voted
You're
on
wrong.
Like six
no,
games.
Later Golden Axes are good.
The original Golden Axe is a bitch, yes, but it spawned the whole Gauntlet genre.
Nostalgia
that doesn't make
filter.
It a good game.
In the middle is Excitebike. I'm not too excited about that. At the top, though, is Chrono Trigger, and I've read like four essays on Chrono Trigger, one from an existentialism view. This week,
really?
So
yeah, that's actually a really interesting view to take on it. Anyway,
so it's great, but so is Star Fox, and I think the place we're gonna start it is a game we compared it to before we'd even played it, which is Sin and Punishment, another rail shooter by Nintendo. And while Sin and Punishment has this like crazy factor that really endeared it to me, it's not nearly as good as Star Fox.
Yeah, I can't.
Star Fox is better.
I can make no arguments in favor of Sin and Punishment over Star Fox.
It has more wacky s*** going on.
Yeah, that is true.
But it doesn't have, like, a Gundam level or an Independence Day level.
No, it doesn't.
And it wasn't directed by DeviantArt.
But it has more ruffians.
Does it? There are so many ruffians in Star Fox. You just don't know because you kill all of them.
All right. Two up from Sin and Punishment is another rail shooter by Nintendo, Pokemon Snap.
Oh, yeah, I kind of forgot.
Star Fox is better.
Yeah, Star Fox has more kinetic energy with you shooting a whole bunch of stuff at once. Well, to Pokemon Snap's more calculated, wait for the photo.
Yeah, see, and I vote for Pokemon Snap because it's got controls I can handle.
Well, Pokemon Snap is good, but Star Fox, while they both kind of have that element of play levels multiple times, Star Fox has that element of, I played this level enough times so I got this other level to play.
Yeah, it's got more variety and a bit more of a mastery element.
Yeah, if Pokemon Snap had, like, twice as many levels, they might be more comparable.
With more Pokemon and stuff implemented.
Or, like, where you had to fend off a Dragonite trying to charge its Hyper Beam or something. Yeah, I don't even know.
That would be pretty cool. The next game up that has guns and vehicles in it is Vigilante 8.
I like Vigilante 8. It was a lot of fun. Star Fox is better than Vigilante 8.
I think it's more polished, if nothing else. Like
Star Fox is more polished than Vigilante 8, but I am a fan of the Vigilante Twisted Metal kind of.
Oh, I am too. Don't get me wrong. That's why that game is on there. It's because I called it. And then
it's
we
surprisingly
found out
it's high on the list. Honestly, I watched our Let's Play of that recently while tagging all of our posts. And I'm like, man, this is actually a surprisingly amusing Let's Play.
I actually kind of want to go back and rewatch that. I was going to at work one day, but I'm like, oh, wait, my phone's data would be consumed.
We kept getting caught on the damn ski
that
lift.
Stupid ski lift.
So the next sort of comparable game is another shooter on the N64. Not a rail shooter, though. Perfect Dark.
I love Perfect Dark, but Perfect Dark's primary thing was battle with the control scheme. And it was a much, much better multiplayer party game than it was an actual like single player game. Because a lot of the single player elements were find the thing, which find the thing got boring if you couldn't find it after you killed everything.
It was a surprisingly good multiplayer game, though, and that we shouldn't discount it just because the multiplayer is better than its single player.
I'm not discounting it. I mean, it had a lot of those other elements, like counteroperative. That's something I would like to see another game do.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised more haven't, because that was a fun mode.
That's actually a cool idea.
Time Splitters has some of that.
It does.
Made by the people who made Perfect Dark.
Oh, well.
But I think because Star Fox has both a better single player and a not quite as good multiplayer, but still serviceable.
Not quite as good, yes.
Yeah, nowhere near as good. It actually is a bit better of a game as a whole piece than Perfect Dark is.
My argument, and I think it's similar to Zach's, is that Perfect Dark is a pretty good like N64 shooter. But as far as console shooters go, it's kind of a rough early game. Star Fox 64 isn't just the best rail shooter we've played. I think it's the best rail shooter ever made. I will take that to the bank.
I mean, there aren't many more rail shooters after this, I think, because we started going more towards the...
A lot of arcade ones and that terrible Resident Evil one, and there are a few on the Wii.
Wait, which Resident Evil one? The one that's...
Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles?
Oh, Umbrella Chronicles is a terrible rail shooter. Originally, Resident Evil Zero is a first-person light gun rail shooter.
Yeah, I was going to say make the case that Time Crisis is also a rail shooter, and that's actually a pretty good game.
You guys have totally discounted the Metal Slug series as well.
Those aren't rail shooters.
Rail shooters.
It really isn't.
We've played one recently.
Right. Yeah, it's like a run and gun platformer. More similar to Mega Man.
Yeah, pretty close to Mega Man.
Although, if we put it above Perfect Dark, it will be going above Metal Slug, which I'm fine with.
Having played the first one? Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, Mercenary Kings, guys. It's like if Metal Slug also had RPG elements.
All right, so a few above Perfect Dark is where I think the buck stops, because there's Mega Man 2, which is similarly a masterpiece. It's just a masterpiece of 2D platforming. They're similar to me because they're both, like, to me, fun arcadey games I could just run through. They're both action games.
I preferred Star Fox, but that's in a large part is because I don't care for platformers in general, and Mega Man is very platformer.
I'd give it to Star Fox.
I'd have to go with Star Fox as well.
All right, so Star Fox will go above Mega Man 2. Directly above Mega Man 2 is Super C.
Ooh, I did really like Super C.
I liked it, but again, if I had to go with it, going with my gut, I'd have to go with Star Fox because, I'll be honest, I'm bad at Super C.
I lean towards Star Fox just because of the voice acting. The characters are really well acted. It's your motivations are clear, and what you're doing changes up a lot.
And let's be honest, with the voice acting, it's one thing to know Peppy is terrible, or Slippy is terrible. Quite another to have her annoy you for the entirety of the thing so you remember it 20 years later.
Also, he's a dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, Slippy's totally a dude.
I don't care.
I didn't know that for like 10 years after I played the game, but he's a dude.
He, she, it, whatever. Both, I don't care. You're equally annoying.
I was going
to... Still technically a frog.
Yeah, also that. I'm already outvoted at this point, going to make the argument in favor of Super C because it has more complex gameplay that is equally well implemented.
But does it really? Because it's strictly a... Oh, wait, no, it does go to those vertical scrolling levels, doesn't it?
There's also, like, a lot more you have to take into account at any one time. Like, Star Fox could be as much a bullet hell as Super C is, but it isn't. And I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I prefer the more bullet hell.
Well, I prefer the actual progress it feels like I'm making with Star Fox. I mean, we're at the point where we're talking about two titans of their genres. Like, yeah. Super C and Star Fox are the kings of their genres.
And so another arguable genre king, the highest game where you're in a jet on our list, a few up, is Gradius. Which I guess, Zach, did you play Gradius?
I played Life Force. I didn't actually play Gradius. Okay.
Yeah, so Gradius was inexplicably better than Life Force.
So. Tyler, you're the guy who's got Gradius this high, so I'm going to leave where Star Fox goes into relation to it completely up to you.
Yeah, honestly, I actually think I prefer Star Fox, which is odd because Gradius is... Like, Gradius has a lot of problems that I have come to realize since ranking it that high, but, I mean, it's still a great game.
It has that great upgrade system, though.
It does. But Star Fox also kind of has upgrades and other collectibles. I don't know. As far as space-based shooters go, I'd have to give it to the anthropomorphized animals.
So directly above Gradius, lucky number 13 is The Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening, another Nintendo game. I think Link's Awakening is, again, a titan of its genre, and I think a better game. I know Zach doesn't. He's pretending like he's thinking about it, and he probably actually is, but I know Zach doesn't think Link's Awakening is better than Star Fox.
I don't really like most of the Zelda games. Link's Awakening is not the one I was...
Yeah, it's the Game Boy one.
Yeah, it's not the one where you have to go find the hole to fall. Right?
No, that's Link to the Past.
That's the one where you have to go to the beach.
Yeah.
And then have a love affair with a mermaid who might actually be a seagull.
I think you guys like that game a lot more, and it has really driven my opinion of it down, because the more I hear about it, the less I care.
Are you a counterculturalist, Zach?
No. So how many... which one of us owns more mainstream titles?
Alex?
Yosh!
So, Tyler, it's again up to you. Star Fox 64, above or below Link's Awakening?
You know, if it was...
You're going to get hate mail either way for this.
Yeah, I know. If it was Link to the Past...
I don't think it's going to quite make it that high.
Up to Link to the Past?
Yeah.
I think it would lose to that game, but...
Because we have to stop at every game along the way.
Yeah. No, honestly, I think I would give it to Star Fox still.
All right, so above Link's Awakening is Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry, Star Fox.
I mean, there's no shame in losing to Super Mario Bros. 3.
I can't let you do that to Star Fox.
Casual racism is fun for the whole family.
It is. And turnips. Don't forget turnips.
Hey, all right. Mario speaks like that. We all know.
Hey,
it.
At least vegetables are healthy.
It's a bee. Mario.
Star Fox 64 goes at lucky number 13, above Link's Awakening, below Super Mario Bros. 3.
Surprisingly, it outranks Zumbini's, guys. Are we okay with this?
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, yeah. Where's Zumbini's again? It's like
23. Oh, yeah. It's going to be 24 now, but
it's incredibly high for that kind of game.
So Star Fox 64, great game, ranked very high. But next week, we have a real title challenger. I think it's going to be the new number one. I'm not going to announce it early, but it is definitely going to be in that fight. That's why we have five people here, really, is to talk about the next game, not this one.
No, I came for Star Fox.
Next time on Last Time, gotta catch them all.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.
He's gonna throw that.
God damn it, Zach.
I was so close.
No, you weren't. I was waiting. And then you didn't.
I hate you.
Sorry.
We love you too, Zach. It's okay.